Thank you, Ken. Once again, good morning. If you would open your Bibles to begin the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, I'd encourage you to use the outline you see coming in. It might be a benefit to you as an ongoing study afterwards. We're told by Paul, book of Romans chapter 15, verse 5, that whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Therefore, consider, if an individual disregards the things written in earlier time, that is in the Old Testament, and fails to persevere, what will happen to their hope that they claim in Christ Jesus? Well, surely that hope will be placed in jeopardy. On the other hand, if we give heed to the things written in earlier times and learn from the examples and we persevere in following God, then we do indeed have a hope that by God's grace can only grow stronger day by day. So this morning we'll look at one aspect of the things written in earlier times, that is the teaching regarding the Sabbath. Because the teaching of the Sabbath has a lot to do with our hope and the strengthening and the growing of our hope in Christ Jesus. First of all, then, we deal with the Sabbath. Beginning with the book of Exodus, chapter 19. The question is, to whom was it given? Because there in Exodus 19, children of Israel, having recently come out of the land of Egypt, led by Moses, in Exodus 19, they commit themselves, all the Lord has said, we will do. And so they prepare themselves, and then Moses brought them out to the mountain to meet the Lord. A rather awesome thought. And there they were in Exodus chapter 20, with that awesome sight of the mountain, Sinai, the quaking, the thunder, the lightning, the voice, as the Ten Commandments were given. And in part of the Ten Commandments, of course, there in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days, do your work, all your labor. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it, you shall do no work. So the Sabbath recognized, first of all, the term Sabbath had been used previous to Exodus chapter 20. They were familiar with the term. But there in the Mount Sinai, we're told, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Book of Nehemiah chapter 9. There, the scripture tells us in verse 13 and verse 14 that when God came down to the mountain and he spoke from heaven, he made known to them his holy Sabbath. Upon the term was used beforehand, but at Mount Sinai, it was made known the significance. It was God's Sabbath. It was required of God, do no work at all. Now, notice here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, as they have been traveling, Deuteronomy, they're repeating the things said earlier. He's now repeating what transpired in the book of Exodus chapter 20. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances which I am speaking to you today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb, that is Mount Sinai. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with those of us here alive today. So the Ten Commandments given to the Jews, the Ten Commandments included the requirement to observe the Sabbath. It was made known at Mount Sinai, and here Moses tells us it was given exclusively to the Jews. To those of us gathered here today, as he addressed the Jews. To no one else, but rather given to the Jews. So what does it mean, and what's involved? The word Sabbath has the idea of intermission, or a rest after labor. Furthermore, in the requirement of God to rest, the book of Exodus chapter 31 and verse 13, identifies there, God said through Moses to the people of Israel, you will surely observe my Sabbaths, For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord your God who sanctifies you. Now observe again. It was given by God to the people of Israel. It was given exclusively to people of Israel. And God said, it is a sign between me and you. That which signifies. A reminder, a signal that reminds. And what would it remind them of? Well, I point you again, book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. And here in Deuteronomy 5, as he's discussing the giving of the Sabbath and the command to observe the Sabbath, he observes in verse 15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So you observe again. It was given by God to Israel. It was given exclusively to Israel. And God said it was a sign between he and Israel. That which would remind them. And it would remind them of the fact they have been delivered from the land of Egypt. Now, who else but the Jews, people of Israel, could have that significance? They were the ones who could remember they were brought out of the land of Egypt. They were the ones, therefore, the observing of the Sabbath, that day of complete rest, would be a reminder that God indeed had brought them out of the land of Egypt. So what was involved? Well, God said, the book of Exodus chapter 20, do no work at all. In fact, again, book of Exodus 31, verse 14, the one who profanes the Sabbath will surely be put to death. The one who works will be cut off from among his people. Well, how serious was God? We have a test case, the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 15. Here the Jews found a man who was gathering wood on the Sabbath. Now, he wasn't doing heavy work. I mean, he wasn't breaking a sweat. He wasn't digging a ditch or moving some heavy equipment. He wasn't breaking a sweat. He was simply gathering wood. Most likely to build a fire to feed his family. But he was working on the Sabbath. So they brought him to Moses and Aaron and the congregation. What are we going to do with this fellow? Well, they knew what God said. You profane the Sabbath, be put to death. But did God really mean that? So they put him in custody. Even Moses, to whom God had given the commandment, put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done. And the idea of declared is declare distinctly. You ever been reading the Bible and say, I wish it had been made a bit clearer? I wish this point of contention would have been made clearer. Well, that's what they were doing. We know what God said, but is that what God meant? So they put the man in custody. And the Lord said what he meant. The book of Numbers 15. This man will die outside the camp, and the whole congregation will stone him to death. To ours, that may seem rather barbaric. But that's what God commanded as an object lesson to his people. That what God said, God meant. And when God said to rest upon the Sabbath day, that's exactly what he meant. It would be a complete rest. You also observe that to the Jews, the term Sabbath meant more than simply resting on the seventh day. In Leviticus 23, we won't take time to read through the whole thing. We've got it there in the outline. I encourage you to read it afterwards. But Leviticus 23, for all of the sacred festivals, there would be a Sabbath rest. Not only for the sacred festivals, but the book of Leviticus 25 in verse 1 through verse 4, every seventh year would be a Sabbath. The land would have a Sabbath. No reaping, no pruning of the vines every seventh year. A Sabbath to the Lord. And not only every seventh year, again you have the book of Leviticus 25 and verse 8 onwards, every 50th year would be a Jubilee. And part of that Jubilee would be, again, the land would have a Sabbath. There would be no reaping, no pruning of the vines. It would be a Sabbath. So the idea of the Sabbath required by God, not only of their weekly observance of the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, no rest, no work, rest, complete rest, no work, not even gathering wood. And the purpose being, God said, it's a sign between me and you, me and Israel, a sign between me and Israel, that you'll know I'm the Lord God who sanctified you. It'll be a reminder I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so those festivals, every seventh year, every 50th year, a Sabbath observance. But there's more. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12. They're in the wilderness. They're moving toward the promised land. We're there for 40 years wandering. But you'll observe God's warning in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12. He admonishes them to have nothing to do with idolatry. When they come into the promised land, nothing to do with idolatry. Observe there in verse 8 of chapter 12. You should not do at all what you're doing here today. Every man doing what is right, whatever is right in his own eyes. Sounds rather modern, doesn't it? Verse 9, for you have not yet come to the resting place. New American. Other translations say you've not yet come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. Now they were required to rest 7 day, 7th year, 50th year. But God was giving them a rest and an inheritance. And what was that rest? You observe in verse 10. When you cross the Jordan, the river Jordan, to live in the land which the Lord your God has given you to inherit. And it gives you rest from all your enemies around you, that you may live securely. When would you receive the inheritance? And when would you enter God's rest? When they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. So God required of them to rest, and God was promising more rest. And his rest would be when they crossed over the Jordan River. And yet I refer you to the book of Psalms, the 95th Psalm. David is writing regarding the situation learned there from the Jews. And David is admonishing his own generation centuries later. God tells him through David, 95th Psalm in verse 10, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said, there are people who err in their heart. They do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter my rest. And his rest was clearly identified in the book of Deuteronomy as the land that he had promised them. When you cross over the Jordan, you'll enter my rest. But because the people were hard-hearted and did not know God's ways and refused to follow God, God swore that generation would not enter my rest. Indeed, only two did. Out of all the adult generation that left the land of Egypt, only two entered the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. Not even Moses was allowed to enter in because of their violation of God's will. So therefore, you observe the Sabbath. Had great significance to the Jews, not only in their weekly observance, but also in their life and what they would receive from the Lord. So also observe, therefore, some lessons for us today regarding the Sabbath. The Sabbath day, well, again, the question is, was it a sign from God, between God and us? Was it a reminder of our being delivered from the land of Egypt? No. So again, the point is, it was not something given to Gentiles. It was always exclusive to the people of Israel. That seventh-day observance. Then you observe in the New Testament, first of all, book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 7. An occasion which has the stamp of approval of the Apostle Paul, an example. We're told there that when Luke records on the first day of the week, when we came together to break bread, Paul began speaking to them. They came together on the first day of the week, the Lord's Supper. And then you have Paul giving directions in 1 Corinthians 16, in verse 1 and verse 2. He told them, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you put aside and save, but no, as you may prosper, but no collections when I come. Observe, therefore, by example, approved apostolic example in Acts 20, and by the apostolic teaching and command in 1 Corinthians 16, because it is a command. It says, when I directed, the word directed is command. So you have both example and you have command of the Lord's apostle on the first day of the week, not the seventh day, but the first day of the week. What then is the significance of the first day of the week? Well, think, when did the church begin? Book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 1, the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured forth. The apostles received that evidence from God, being able to speak in tongues that they had never learned. Men from all over the world could hear and understand. The gospel was proclaimed. Jesus was identified as Lord and Christ. And about 3,000 souls were saved, being baptized into Christ and being added to their number, the day of Pentecost. We think also the book of Leviticus, we're told there that the day of Pentecost was always the day after the Sabbath. Now, if the Sabbath is the seventh day, what is the day after the Sabbath? The first day. The Sabbath being the Saturday, and the first day being, as we have it in our calendar, the Sunday. The church began on the first day. Then, of course, you have in the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 5 of Jesus Christ, he was raised early on the first day of the week. So Christians meet together on the first day of the week to remember the Lord Jesus, the day he was raised and the day the church began. But then we're also told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 1, of Jesus Christ. He's the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, if Jesus, under the Old Testament, he could never have been priest, far less high priest. Because in the Old Testament economy, the tribe of Levi were the priests by God's decree. And so for Jesus to be a high priest, he of a tribe of Judah, great significance. As in Hebrews 7 verse 12, if the change of priesthood, there is of necessity a change of law also. The law changed. What then happened to the old law, the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath? Book of Colossians. Now, as you're turning near Colossians chapter 2, remember also in Ephesians 2 and verse 15. Of Jesus Christ, he himself abolished in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Jesus Christ abolished the law of commandments. In a similar way, here in the book of Colossians chapter 2, speaking of Christ, all that had been accomplished in and through Jesus Christ. So in verse 14, having cancelled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which is hostile to us, and is taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That old law, the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments and including the requirements of the Jews observing the Sabbath, he abolished and is nailed to the cross. So therefore, in verse 16, therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon, all these requirements of the Old Testament, or a Sabbath day. These things, we're told, verse 17, which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. I've seen the question asked a number of times, even seen articles written, who change the Sabbath? And of course, The answer is usually, well, the Roman Catholics. They changed the Sabbath. Well, the Catholics changed a lot of things. Didn't change the Sabbath. The Sabbath is still the seventh day. It is no longer a decree that had been nailed to the cross. Sabbath was never changed. We now are under the New Testament. And as such, the first day of the week, the day of the Lord's resurrection, the day the church began, is a day when the church, both by the example of the apostle, by the command of the apostle, is the day the Christians meet together. So, Christian Sabbath? No. You hear people speaking of Sunday as the Christian Sabbath. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. A simpler means of trying to combine the two covenants. It is not the Christian Sabbath. But you observe our title for the lesson is the Christian's, possessive, yes, possessive, the Christian's Sabbath. The Sabbath is promised to us as the Jews are promised a rest, so also are we. Book of Hebrews chapter 4. And you observe there in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There remains a Sabbath rest. Hasn't been received yet, but there remains. So he goes back earlier in the chapter to recounting the very thing we've noticed this morning. The Jews traveling through the wilderness promised the rest once they crossed the Jordan River, but God saying, this generation will not enter my rest. And so you observe in verse 4 of chapter 4 of Hebrews. For you said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested in the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest, quoting from David in the 95th Psalm. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them, the Jews in the wilderness, and failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day. Today, seeing through David, 95th Psalm, after so long a time, just as he has said before, today if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. David made an application to his generation. Learn from those in the past. And now the New Testament is saying, hear the message of David. Learn the same lesson. For if Joshua had given them rest, because those who entered the promised land, all those who were children or born during the wilderness wanderings, Joshua led them into the promised land. God's rest, as God said. But if Joshua had given them the rest, that was all of it, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. One of the key words in Hebrews is better. Everything about Christ, everything Christ has done, everything Christ will do, is better than anything that anybody else, no matter if it be Moses, Aaron, or anybody, angels, Jesus Christ is better. And there is promised a Sabbath rest. Only time in the Bible that term Sabbath rest is found. And it's promised there was. It speaks of the rest from toil and labor. It's promised to the true worshippers of God in that age yet to come. And significantly, book of Revelation 14 and verse 13, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, said the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their deeds follow with them. They may rest from their labors. Sabbath rest await the people of God. I remind you again of where we began, book of Romans 15 and verse 4. The things written in earlier times, written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Do we have hope? There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. entering into God's rest, not crossing the Jordan River. That is there as an example to us. Crossing over into God's rest. That there awaits us. So here again, from Hebrews chapter 3, the re-emphasis of David's words to his generation being applied again to us. Therefore, in verse 7 of chapter 3, therefore, just as the Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me, and saw my works after 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart. They do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And so they pleading to Christians today in verse 12. Take care, brethren. There be not in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from a living God. Evil, unbelieving heart, that was the Jews in the wilderness. That can be us today. But encourage one another. The purpose of church, assembly, being together. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He identifies also verse 18 and verse 19 to those who were not allowed to enter, were those who were disobedient, not able to enter because of unbelief. And so in chapter 4, verse 11, therefore let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. We learn from them in the past. We should learn from their example and learn from their mistakes. They had that rest lying ahead of them and failed to enter because of unbelief, because of disobedience. We have a rest that is awaiting us. We can fail to enter, not because God will fail us, but because of an evil, unbelieving heart. Because we allow ourselves to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So encourage one another, the admonition is, that you and I take responsibility for each other, to encourage each other in the faithful walk in Christ Jesus. Remember, we just speak as it were the oracles of God. We're also to speak the truth in love. What comes from our word, from our mouth, our expressions, our terminology, should be in harmony with the word of God. Don't refer to Sunday as a Christian Sabbath. That's, again, be on guard against the misuse and the abuse of denominations as they pick and choose what they're going to apply and terms they will use. Seems good to us, so we'll use it. Keep in mind also what Peter said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 13. Prepare your minds for action. Be those who, in preparing your mind, your action, you're keeping sober. And you fix your hope entirely on the hope to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fix your hope entirely. And as you do so, for those who walk faithful with Christ Jesus, they had a rest, promise of God, and it was by the wayside. Because they allowed themselves to drift. They allowed themselves to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And how easily sin deceives the heart and hardens the heart. Keep your hope fixed entirely on the hope brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because at that time, by God's grace, we will cross over. We'll enter his rest. And then all the trials and troubles of life will all seem as nothing, because we will be in the rest of God. That Sabbath rest that is a Christian's hope. So to come to the conclusion, we remind you, book of Romans chapter 6. Paul reminded the Christians, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to the form of teaching which you received. Being freed from sin, you are now slaves of righteousness. Freed from sin because of obeying God's teaching from the heart. And what they had done, what required of us. In the example of Saul of Tarsus, a man who believed he'd seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He was repentant 3 days and nights, fasting and praying. And he was told by Ananias, the preacher, why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Acts 22, verse 16. If you have never obeyed from the heart the teaching of the Lord Jesus, never yet been baptized into Christ to see forgiveness of your sins, don't rest in merely being those who believe, and I'm really sorry, and I really try to do better. Don't stop there. Why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins. Obedience to Christ by his blood, and then begin the walk toward God's rest. Requiring all of your diligence, requiring a life of faithfulness, that you also, with God's blessed, may enter his rest in that day of glory. Whatever your need might be, keep before you our wonderful Sabbath rest. Let nothing come between us and the receiving of that rest by the grace of God. Whatever your need might be, we invite you to come to Christ to stand together and sing.